If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Heavier sanctions, European dependency on Russian gas, and Russian access to Norwegian ports. As the relations to Russia is intensely debated, we hear less about our Ukrainian business relations. What do we know about these relations, and how can they be maintained through these horrifying times? Welcome to you, Håvard Notøy.
Thank you.
And welcome to you, Victoria Koilo.
Thank you.
Håvard first. You have a history from Rolls-Royce and later in Havyard.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, you jumped off and established a new company. It is called Fostek and is located in Fosnavåg. You help companies implementing modern IT solutions and you give advisement. And typically for this region of Norway, you focus on the maritime business. You will have the chance to tell us a lot more about this, but first, you cooperate with an IT enterprise in Ukraine, right?
That is correct, yes.
It is called Program ACE?
Correct.
What is the background for your cooperation with this Ukrainian partner?
The background is quite simple. The competence we need for what we are developing currently is not so easy to find in this part of Norway. After trying to hire last year, we actually concluded that it was very risky to hire local staff in Fosnavåg, in this area. So we went out and looked what we could find out there, and we found this very interesting and attractive company in Ukraine, in Kharkiv, called Program ACE.
Where you have relations to Kharkiv, right, Victoria?
Kharkiv.
Kharkiv.
Kharkiv region, not far from my region. I'm from Sumy region, yes. Yeah, so we border with it, and quite often I attended the city. So yeah.
Ukrainian IT industry. That's not something I knew a lot about before I met Håvard for the first time. Victoria, you are associate professor at the University NTNU on their division here in Ålesund, and you have a PhD in economics, and you are Ukrainian. And as you all can hear, this episode is in English, so that we will reach an even broader audience than usually. You are participating here in this episode both as an expert in economics and as a Ukrainian citizen. And thank you for dealing with this special double role. In the very beginning of the war, I called you, and you were a bit restrictive of being interviewed. Now you're here.
Yeah.
What has changed?
Yeah, that's true. I remember the first call, and I was like not in a good mood to talk and to give any interview. Actually, it was painful also to go and teach students. So, but I said that, okay, I will not help anyone with this situation if I will be in this mood. We have to be strong, of course, so because I have to support my family, my friends, also with if I'm strong, so I can support them. And also I can teach here, because if I will be in this mood and will not do my job, and no one will do it. So within some time, I was like more or less, but yes, so I could do my job. So now also I feel like it's a good time actually to talk about it, because it's important. We want to know the consequences of this situation in Europe, in Norway, and in general in this region, Ramsdal. Yes, so it's quite important, and yeah, so I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Mm. Let's take a look at the economics first. This is a business video podcast. You wrote to me earlier that Russia accounts for less than 2% of world gross domestic product, while Ukraine accounts for only 0.14%. Not a lot. So it looks like they have little direct impact on global supply chains, you wrote. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there's a few very important areas which should be mentioned. So could you briefly list like the most important consequences of this war on the economy in Europe?
I could say that there are lots of different areas where we can see this influence, the consequences of this war. And first of all, we know it's oil and gas industry, so energy sector, yes, agriculture sector, and it's about... we know that energy sector already was impacted even before the situation due to COVID and so on, high prices on energy sources, yeah. But nowadays what we see, we are trying to get rid of the dependency on Russian oil and gas. So we are looking for new possibilities, for new markets. So it's like we can call it good time for Norway, yes, but even Prime Minister, he said to have profit on the war, like it's not a good situation, not good time.
But gas can even be like green in the EU taxonomy.
Yes, exactly. They are discussing this, that it can be included. Because we previously invested a lot in renewable market. And what we can say that in future... in this year, so we don't forget about it, but also it will be less important for us, because we know that it can't replace all energy that we need. So definitely we will look for other sources, I know that in Italy and France, they already started to think about even opening those coal plants again, just in emergency, because they know that renewable market will not replace that energy that we need till the end of the year. Yeah, so definitely it impact price on energy sources, new ways of having energy. Yes.
Yeah. Everyone who drives a gasoline or diesel car can see that.
Yeah, yeah. So price on those and gas. And also agricultural issues. Yeah, we know that Ukraine and Russia, it's altogether one sort of supply of those grain, wheat, barley, sunflower oil as well. So Europe, it's less dependent on these things, but when it comes to economic development countries
that really need this food.
Yeah, for example, Egypt, 80% dependent on those things from those countries. So definitely, yeah. And also when it comes to the seafood industry here in Norway, so also I saw statistic 120,000 tons of lux should salmon should find new markets, because we can't deliver now it to Russia, Belarus, to Ukraine due to ports issues. And
let's hold on to the fish. We knew from before that Ukraine is an extremely important grain producer, but also you have pointed out that Mariupol was a very important port for Norwegian fish. And let's be honest, the city is destroyed. Can you say a little bit more about how Norwegian fish played a role?
Because Mariupol has an access to Black Sea, so definitely it played a very important role in sea trade with Norway and seafood, hunting it. Because this port has lots of facilities, like also those refrigerators and so on, that so vitally important for frozen fish. And
now these fish have to go other places.
Go to other, or it's stocked and waited in other ports nowadays. Yeah, so it's.
As I have understood from you, Håvard, not everything is destroyed or hopeless or black. How is your impression of the Ukrainian tech IT industry?
Mm. Well, I have to look that in my own context, of course. In my previous line of business, I've been working with IT from India, from West Europe. And also when we selected programmers from Ukraine, we also had companies from Poland and from Lithuania participating. And I think IT and tech industry in Ukraine is still a little bit young if we compare it to some of the other countries. But they are what they are lacking in experience. They have the same education. They have a very high educating system for this type of competence in Ukraine, and young workforce, extremely young workforce, many of them, and they are very.
What does young mean?
Well, below 30.
Yeah.
I'm pushing 50 now, so that is very young for me.
You're looking good still.
Oh well, thank you. Depending on who, which eyes you're seeing with. But okay. We in general, we have a good impression. So in combination of competence, experience and the price level, it was a quite easy decision at the end for us to go there.
And they're still running. They're not down.
Well, yes, both yes and no. Kharkiv is the second largest city in Ukraine, right? And it is among the most bombed out cities, as far as I understand, in Ukraine. You have Mariupol is in a league by its own, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kharkiv is not far from being a little Mariupol. And the head office of the company we work in, working with, is located in Kharkiv. Mm-hmm. Kharkiv. It's been really disturbing to work with them. Normally, we can work like we are doing in normal conditions, normal business rules and requirements, right? But then you throw the war into this, and you think, okay. And from week to week, I'm just crossing my fingers and praying a little prayer every evening and hope that the guys who was participating in last week's status meeting will connect and be there the week after. And luckily, so far, everybody is there. But our technical lead in Kharkiv, as you saw from the pictures I showed you yesterday, they are living in the basement.
Mm. And we'll talk more about your business partners in Ukraine.
Okay.
But first, we should have a little look about what your company that you established in 2015, Fostech, what it does. We can tell that the publication Net.no wrote earlier this year that Fostech has made an innovation contract with Innovation Norway, releasing 2.5 million kroners in support, and the pilot customer is REM Offshore. So first, what is your goal with this project?
Okay, yeah, we've been running since 2016 in practical.
Well, it says 2015 in the registers.
Yes, that is the register date.
Okay.
we count from 16, and we have learned a lot with regards to what we call mixed reality. So we work very close with Microsoft and a product they call HoloLens. Somebody else like to call that technology for augmented reality, but Microsoft hasn't done that. They have branded it as mixed reality.
You should describe this to a five-year-old. What would
five-year-old.
You say?
Put on a pair of magical sunglasses that can project all kind of information in the room that you are in.
Mm.
In 3D or in flat screen, whatever kind of information you need to take a better decision or getting entertained. So it's actually to carry on a pair of glasses that can actually replace your computer and do so many cool things, more than what a computer can do.
I've seen pictures of children and what they see in their glasses, and it's like a 3D heart, by instance.
Correct.
Not only a picture, but they can see the heart and almost touch it, right?
Almost touch it, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What will be your next steps this year?
Okay, so we were financed almost a year ago. All the pieces in the puzzle went into the proper places, and we are now in the phase where we are developing our own software solution, and we would like to go to market with that during the summer, this summer. And that is where REM Offshore is coming in as our pilot customer for the project. And so far, the feedback we've got from the users so far has been very good. So we are really, really excited about this next phase we are going into now.
So you're taking the step from being a startup to actually establishing.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's go back to one of your business partners, one that is called Oleg Fonarov. How would it be pronounced in Ukrainian?
Oleg
Fonarov?
Fonarov, yeah.
Fonarov. In a blog post on LinkedIn, he recently expressed some disappointment and frustration. He wrote about what he called unexpected challenges from the West during the war. And I will read a little about what he is concerned about. In order to support Ukraine, there are a lot of Western brands to either cut back, suspend, or shut down operations and trade with Russia in response to its invasion of Ukraine. Also, governments of many countries, non-profit organizations, commercial companies, and individuals help Ukraine, Ukrainian companies, and people directly, here in Ukraine and from abroad. But some Western companies do the opposite, he states. He says Western customers close outsourced IT projects, fairly assessing the risk of doing business in Ukraine. And Fonarov also states that some companies are aggressively hiring on the Ukrainian job market, taking advantage of the temporary weakening of Ukrainian companies. This doesn't sound good. He also says that some Western companies is trying to hire Ukrainian developers directly as freelancers, and then degrading Ukraine as being one of the leaders actually in the software industry into a resource reservoir. And some are, Fonarov writes, even trying to break non-solicitation agreements. This was a difficult word, but it's about trying to take customers away with them and then breaking the deals that they originally had with the Ukrainian companies. Victoria, you have of course many contacts in your home country. Have you heard about such examples too, or not?
Okay, so I can tell that it's true. So many young people work in this industry. Like I'm 30 years old and have friends that are also IT specialists this age. And what I've heard nowadays from them, so it's like a different situation, different. It depends on which country you work for now, because IT industry is very outsourced. So like many, like they work for, even for Russia, they worked, I know.
Yeah. Is it true what he says, Oleg Fonarov, that Western companies are kind of like, breaking deals or taking advantage of the situation?
I could say based on that thing that I've heard from France, I didn't hear the old things.
You didn't hear it?
Yeah.
So it's not like this is what everyone experienced, probably.
Like if it comes to Russian companies, so yeah, it's true. Like some of them like canceled those deals. So some of them started to be stricter. So they like, they're more demandful. And it's
you,
so
you
visible.
You mean Russian companies?
Yes.
With Ukrainian companies?
Yes, with Ukrainian IT specialists. I mean, those nowadays are either lost some contracts, some agreements, or they really started to behave not super polite, with them. Other friends, they told that they work and still they have the same workload like before. So, and it's true. I also today I saw this article about IT sector now in Ukraine, and like many sectors in Ukraine are stopped now due to situation. But those they still keep Ukrainian economy actually, and it's good because
IT industry.
Because they can work remotely, and this according to the Association of IT Specialists in Ukraine, it looks like they could save a lot of agreements still. So like the efficiency, it's like 95%, they said. But it also depends on which IT sphere we're talking about, like product development or services. Because like if you develop your own product and you deliver it to markets, so yeah, you are so important. But when it comes to services, and it's 70% of general IT sector in Ukraine, so it's problematical, more problematical, because in the beginning of the war, so many companies, Western companies, they really were like beshimrit, stressed,
concerned
of the situation, and they were thinking like to cancel some contracts because they saw that like in Kharkiv, so many specialists and they are in shelters, so they
even working from basements as always.
So but some don't have internet, so really they were stressed in the beginning. So
but
they
now it looks a bit better, you say?
Yeah, because I started to see that okay, they still work even in shelters. They see people work even there. And also this Ukrainian Association of IT Specialists, they decided to be some kind of grant to ensure, to provide with insurance even those companies that go for this contract with the Ukrainians, because in order to keep those contracts, yes. Yeah. So they like grant, that the quality will be done, yeah.
Mm. I have to point out that Fonaro also writes that fortunately, my company Programace has reliable partnerships with many Western partners, and we highly appreciate their position. And he has this, he kind of almost screams it out that he's very satisfied with some of them. I think that your company could be one of those that he's satisfied with, or what? Are you reliable?
I hope so, yeah.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In this extreme situation, war is a terrible thing. So we decided, we joined forces with them summer, August last year. And we just saw the situation, how it escalated, right? And we decided to stay with them. I think that is the best way we can actually actively support them. He said it was so important for them to be able to pay their employees' salaries, which is very crucial. One of the guys, he's stuck in Kharkiv with a wife, two small kids in a basement, and to be able to have a little bit of salary to survive on in this difficult times, it's make a huge difference for them. So
how is the situation in Kharkiv right now?
Not good. They are constantly under being bombed, night, daytime. You've seen the TV2 news reports from Kharkiv the last few weeks. Doesn't look good.
Day and night. You told me that some of your partners, they work during day and fight during night. What kind of fight is that?
I wonder myself. But it was said before the war started, actually, that our previous project manager, he said he had volunteered for the army. And he had an agreement that he would work and do his job, day job, during daytime. And then he will participate as good as he can, assisting the army during nighttime. Mm. But of course, that is nothing that can go on for a very, very long time. So you have to sleep. And our guy in Kharkiv, he says some days he can't join our status meeting because he has to go outside for food, for bringing water back to the family, and stuff like that. So yeah.
But these are IT specialists. Do they also participate in cyber warfare?
I can't say yes or no to that question.
I understand. Yeah, but I think that it has been admitted from some, not necessarily these people, but that it's common that the industry fight in those manners too. How is it hearing all this about what is going on in Ukraine? You're here in Norway, we're talking about the economy, but how is this for you, Victoria?
One word is painful. It's true. Yeah, and I'm really happy that parents in this region where nowadays it's like a little bit calmer, but we call that in Ukraine we don't have safe zone anymore because you don't know where it will end up, this bomb, because it's so random and unlogically. Like we never thought that it will be on west of Ukraine, but we know that bombs were in Lviv and even in Poltava where it was very safety before, but nowadays it can come everywhere anytime. So yeah, you never know. So definitely we can't say that even in that region it's a calm situation now. So they are trying to live like before, of course. They're trying to come back to life, and when it comes to my parents, they don't want to come here. I invited them to Norway, but they know we will not leave the house, we want to stay home. So
why?
I can understand partly them from security point of view, of course. For me, it's much better if they with me. But they feel like they want to stay home because everything is here. And if someone will come here, they want to protect this because they created everything by themselves. For example, my father and mother, they built this house by themselves. So I can understand partly. Yeah.
There will be a time after the war. What is the most important to do now to make sure that the economy and Ukraine itself can be restored as quick as possible afterwards?
Actually, what I've heard today is how our president nowadays is talking to all other countries and to parliaments. So he is talking like very decisive, of course, and also considering like this support which we are seeing now, but also thinking long term. So he is also like thinking about future of Ukraine. So they discussing those deals, like how the Ukrainian economy will be rebuilt and what you can promise us. So in order to get this promise and to create those agreements nowadays, actually, because I know that some countries already like having plan what to do in order to help Ukraine to rebuild, and it will be completely another country after the war, I could say, because of the we have to restructure a lot, but also I could say it's even more, it's about mentality of people. I could say it will be another nation, because even we didn't know that we are so strong. We even didn't know about ourselves a lot. And if we, for example, before hesitated in ourselves, Nowadays, no, we don't hesitate. We know who we are nowadays. And it's important. It's strong shifts in mentality. Even I am being here, far from that situation. But I am changing already. I feel it, really. So lots of steps it took for me. Actually, I had lots of shifts in mood and so on. So lots of feelings, anger, hopeless and so on, so on. But now I also feel like, yeah, what I feel, strong.
Strong.
Strong, yeah, it's true. And everyone in Ukraine now feel. And more, like so many Ukrainians before, like in my surrounding, like relatives, they considered before to go abroad and to try themselves in another country because of better salary. Nowadays, no, they said, I have such a big choice to go there and there because every country can accept me. Mm. But I don't want. I want to rebuild my country. And they said, actually, we lived good. It was a good life, they said. And because now we can compare, yes. And they believe that, and I believe that it will be much better when all we need just to stop the war now.
Mm.
Yeah. It's true.
What about your business partners? What do they say about future?
I really don't know much more than what you've already been reading from his statements. Maybe it's important that we also emphasize that he's the statements from how do you pronounce his name?
Oleg Fodorov?
Fodorov.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the CEO and the founder of a company called Programmase. They are approximately 160 employees.
Oh, there are that many.
Yeah. So of course, he sees these challenges from his point of view. And I think that is important in the context of what he's been writing here. And I think we should support him as far as we can. But of course, there is always a limit of how long we can stay there. If we're not getting deliveries, if they're not getting done what we are paying for, then of course we need to reconsider. But as long as it seems like we are on the right track, we are willing to stay there to support them as long as we can.
And how is that track looking right now?
Looking good. Looking good. We are a couple of weeks delayed as we speak, but. Who wouldn't be that after a war erupted in your country?
Yeah.
So we are quite impressed what they have been able to do so far.
Yeah. How did the video meeting yesterday go with these people sitting in their basements?
It's very strange. It's normally we talk to people sitting in office environment and being safe, and you see one guy coming pulling with a mattress in the basement and making himself a little space where he can sit with his laptop on his knees. And in the opening of the meeting, he just said that he was just coming back with water and food to his family. And that is how their days are now. I don't think we can even try to comprehend what these people are now going through. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah. Everyone just have to stay strong. We have to finish this episode. There is one question that I always ask. I mean, whatever happens, we have to eat. What is your best dinner plans for this week? Want to be first? Victoria?
Dinner plans?
Yes.
For this week? So hard.
Is it hard? It doesn't have to be anything advanced. I just wonder what people buy, what people eat.
I could say I became more Norwegian in this fact because Ukrainian food, if to cook Ukrainian food.
You're going to buy frozen pizza, grandiosa, from Strano?
No, I'm talking about fish and something like salad. So for dinner, I'm not super, nothing heavy, yeah. And actually, I don't cook a lot of Ukrainian food for myself because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
So if I do it, I invite just someone to share with this. But yeah, something similar, really.
Fish is like a really typical answer here because I often have people from seafood industries in this show. What about you, Håvard?
Well, I don't know what's on the menu for the remaining of the week, but we had fish cake the other day, It was a really nice dinner. Mm-hmm. I made it together with my wife, and it was even the kids said yes. So that was a good one.
Even the kids, then even everything the kids. Is fine.
Yeah.
Thank you both of you for coming, Victoria Koilo and Håvard Notøy.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening or watching. We'll be back. See you.